In Numbers chapter 10, Paul often used or employed the use of natural objects to apply spiritual truths to the people to whom he was writing. He was following this procedure in this particular verse, the verse 8 of this chapter, when he makes mention of the trumpet used to sound the alarm of war. If the trumpet shall give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the bugle is bungled, if the trumpet is not clear in the signal it gives, it will yield disastrous consequences. What is true militarily, what is true on the battlefield, is also true spiritually. In the work and in the witness and in the warfare of the Church of Jesus Christ, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Paul's reference to the trumpet arose from his knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. You remember that he had been brought up as a Pharisee, and he was well familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, and in particular, the place that had been assigned to the trumpet in the nation of Israel. The trumpet was an instrument appointed by God for specific reasons, and in the nation of Israel and in the unfolding of its history, it was necessary that that instrument, that trumpet, should give a specific and a distinct sign. That is the sense in which Paul is referring to the trumpet. If you look at the verse before it, verse number 7 of that chapter, he speaks there of different instruments, and he says, and even things without life giving sign, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? The sound must be clear. The sound must be distinct. And in the history of Israel, the place and the position and the significance of the trumpet necessitated a distinct sound being signaled to the people. What was true in a literal sense is true in the spiritual. God often likens His church on earth as a body that is called to blow the trumpet in this world, to sound a clear message, a distinct message, a message that is without confusion, a message that is clear, a message that is specific. But the danger that Paul addresses here is that of the church sending forth an uncertain sound. It is a possibility. It is something that can happen, that the church that God has set and placed upon the earth to give a clear sign to the world, a clear message to the world, can give a confused message. A message that is not distinct. A message that is not clear. And if the trumpet shall give an uncertain sign, who then shall prepare himself for the battle? Who shall make ready for the danger that lies before him? I believe that has been the case in recent days. With the Church of Scotland's decision to induct a homosexual to the ministry of the church, and then in reaction to that, in reaction to a clear overture to uphold the sanctity of marriage, to decide to set up a commission to look into human sexuality and report back in a period of 2 years. These actions are none other than the bungling of the bugle. The trumpet is not giving a certain sign. That's the danger that Paul warns of here When he asks this question in 1 Corinthians 14, if the trumpet shall give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? When you study the Bible, you'll find that God gave four specific uses, four specific purposes for the trumpet. And these uses are outlined for us in Numbers chapter 10. I want us to look at them this evening, applying them to the purpose of the church in this world. You'll notice in the first place that these trumpets were designed and intended to be a signal for assembly. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 1, the Lord said, "Speak unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly." The first purpose, the first use of the trumpet, was to sound a signal to the people that they were to assemble themselves together. They were to assemble at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, verse 3, "And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, when you consider the different purposes, the different uses of the trumpet, one specific sound that was to be signaled would identify to the people, would let the people know that it was now time to assemble themselves together at the tabernacle, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now we have got to ask the question tonight, in the context of Israel in the wilderness, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what was the purpose of that assembly? Why were they to engage in such a thing? Why were they to come together when the trumpet sounded? Why were they to assemble? If you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1, you will find an example, an answer to that question. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them." I want you to take what is said in Numbers 10 and carry it through to Deuteronomy 5. And you can see the picture here. When Moses calls all Israel, how did he do this? How did he call that vast assembly of people? Remember that the men of war numbered over 600,000. And perhaps they had increased many more than this. But how would he have called that vast assembly? It was by the sounding of the trumpet. So you can bring Numbers 10 and bring it into Deuteronomy 5 and imagine the scene in your mind as Moses calls the people. He gives instruction to his brother Aaron that the priests were to sound the trumpets. And those trumpets would be the sign, the signal to the whole assembly of Israel to come to the tabernacle, to assemble themselves. But why were they to assemble? Well, Moses wanted them to hear something. He wanted them to hear the statutes and the judgments which he would speak in their ears that day, that they may learn them and keep and do them. The assembly is in order for their instruction, that they might learn something, that they might be taught something, that they might adhere to something. Those things that Moses unveils to them are the things that God has revealed. You see, the Lord, or Moses brings to mind what the Lord had said. Verse number 4, "The Lord talked with you face to face on the mount out of the midst of the fire." Verse 5, the end, saying, "I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." You see what the purpose of this assembly is? The blowing of the trumpets brought them to the place where they would hear the word of God. They would hear what God had to say to them. And they would be instructed and they would learn, and they would adhere to what he said. Turn over to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, and again, the same setting arises. Moses gives the instruction to Aaron for the priests to sound the trumpets and the people assemble. Deuteronomy 29 and verse number 1. Verse number 2, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. He's bringing to mind, he's bringing to their attention the works of the Lord, what the Lord had done. And the application of that work unto them. He says in verse number 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that ye do. The purpose of this assembly is to hear the word of God. If you turn to Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1. You see, generations are passing. And yet the same procedure is followed, handed on from one generation to the next. Verse 1 of Joshua 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before Joshua. No, it doesn't say that. They presented themselves before God. You see, the trumpet has sounded. And that trumpet calls men to assemble themselves before God that they might hear God's word. Look at verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Do you see the first purpose of this trumpet? To call, to signal the assembly, to bring men to hear the word of God. And surely there's a type here, surely there's a picture of what God has called his church to do in this world. When God says, set the trumpet to thy mouth, blow the trumpet in Zion. He is saying that it is the task of his church on this earth to gather men in order that they might hear what God has to say to them. To hear the word of God. The church should be that means by which the word of God is delivered and communicated to the nations of the world. On Monday evening past, a very simple and straightforward overture was made by the Presbytery of Loch Carron and Skye. It said this, that this church shall not accept for training, ordain, admit, readmit, induct, or introduce to any ministry of the church anyone involved in a sexual relationship outside of marriage between a man and a woman. You would think that was very clear, very straightforward. You would think that such an overture could have been passed in a very short period of time with very little discussion at all. You would have thought that, isn't that right? It's an overture that upholds the sanctity of marriage, purity before marriage and fidelity within marriage. That overture was an opportunity to call men to hear the word of God. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, marriage is honorable. But instead, a decision was taken to set up a special commission to consult with presbyteries and kirk sessions through presbyteries on the issue of human sexuality. And to report back in 2 years. You see what has happened? It's not an assembly to hear what God says, but rather a decision to consult with men. And added to that, there was a decision taken that no public comment could be made on the issue, effectively gagging the pulpit for 2 years. Was there any need to consult? Should they not have consulted God first? Should they not have come to the Word of God and that would have settled the matter? You see, the sounding of the trumpet called men to assemble in order to hear the Word of God, and that is the purpose of the church on earth. When God says, blow the trumpet in Zion, it is in order to bring men that they might hear what God says in His Word. It was a signal to assembly. But it was also a signal to advance. Look again at Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2. The Lord says that these trumpets were made for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps, for the advancement of the camps, for the movement of the people. When the time came for the Israelites to move, to pack up their belongings and to set forward, the trumpets were sounded by the priests. And this time a different signal was used. Not the signal for assembly, but the signal for advancement. And that sound, that particular sound that was sent forth from the trumpet, was a signal giving direction to the people. Letting the people know the direction in which they were to go. And of course you'll remember that the Israelites were guided by the cloudy pillar. They didn't leave it to themselves. It wasn't up to Moses to decide how long they would stay in one place and where they would go next. You'll remember that the Lord guided them by the cloudy pillar, and when that cloudy pillar sped, the camp rested, and when the cloudy pillar set forth, then they marched forward, and as soon as that cloudy pillar, signifying the presence of God, set forward, the priests had to blow the trumpets. And the trumpet gave the signal for moving forward. To move forward in the way of the Lord. To move forward following the presence of God as signified and symbolized by that cloud. It's another picture of what the church is to be in this world. Not only a means of bringing men to hear what God says, but showing men the way in which they should go. Giving to men God's way, directing men in the paths of the Lord. The modern world is using every means possible in order to push its own way, its own agenda. And that agenda is an anti-God agenda. It's an agenda that wants to throw away the restraints of God and the cords that God binds upon men. I was reading this week in my own reading, Psalm number 2. Reading of that great revolt of man against the God of heaven. When they rose up in rebellion against the Lord, they took counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Cast away their cords from us. That's the agenda of the world. That's what the world wants to do, to throw away God's restraints. To throw away the restraints that He has placed in this issue of human sexuality. That's why we see today a great minimizing of marriage. Marriage is no longer necessary in the eyes of the world. And young people are being taught and being indoctrinated that their body is their own and they're free to do with it whatever they so desire. And the message that is coming through is that they are free to experiment. You see, they're breaking the cords. They're breaking the bands that God has set. But it is the church's task to set before men the way of the Lord. What is God's way? What is God's way? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. And let us be clear about the way of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage. The apostle writing under divine inspiration says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You see, that's God's way. God's way is purity before marriage and sanctity then, fidelity within marriage. Between a man and a woman. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 3. Paul says, for this is the will of God. What's he doing? He's signaling the trumpet, showing the way, directing the way. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's the will of God. And the church should be sounding that message clearly. We're living in an age when these restraints are being torn away. And children in school are being indoctrinated. This is an issue that I have raised recently in the school. Because they want to introduce the sexual health education policy of Aberdeenshire Council. And in relation to that policy, which I have read through a little, I have only two questions. Does that policy teach abstinence before marriage and fidelity within it? And I can tell you now, tonight, it does not teach that. It teaches young people from the earliest days in their school that their body is their own and they're free to do with it whatever they please. And the purpose of the church is to give a certain message, a clear message, to sound the way, to show the way. What is God's way? God's way is purity before marriage and fidelity within it. That's God's way. And we're being bombarded with this anti-God agenda, this anti-God policy. You know what was said to me? Even at the very thought of refusing to have my son taught that policy. The response is, but BAMF has one of the greatest rates of teenage pregnancy, and this is our way of addressing it. It's not God's way. Are they teaching the young people to be pure, to keep their bodies pure before marriage, for their marriage partner? That's God's way. And it is the task of the church to give a clear sign, to show the way as God has revealed it in His Word. But not only was the trumpet used to signal the assembly and to signal the advance, it was also used to signal the alarm. If you come again to Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9, The Lord highlights a third use of the trumpet, and if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. It's used in relation to the threat from the enemy. It's used to sound the alarm, to alert the people to the danger and call them to make preparation and to defend themselves against the foe. Later on, when Israel would enter the land of promise and build cities with walls of fortification round about, they would employ watchmen to stand guard day and night, that they might keep a lookout, that they might observe for the approach of the enemy. And if they saw the enemy, it was the purpose, it was the duty, the responsibility of the watchman to sound the alarm. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel 33, the Lord speaks to the prophet Ezekiel. And he says in the verse 1, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. You see, the watchman was responsible. If he saw the enemy approaching, and he sounded the alarm, if the people refused to heed the alarm, then he was clear of any guilt, for he had fulfilled his responsibility. But if he saw the enemy come and failed to sound the alarm and the city was taken, then that watchman was responsible because he failed to sound the alarm. Now look what God says in verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You see how the Lord takes this literal situation of the watchman and he applies it to the ministry of the church, and in particular to the ministers of God. He says, this is your duty, this is your responsibility. When you see the enemy come, that threat of danger come, you must warn the people. You must set the trumpet to your mouth. How they respond is not your responsibility. If they will heed the warning, well and good. But if they will not heed it, you've cleared your garments. I will not require their blood at your hand. But if you fail to warn them, if you fail to deliver my word to them, then I will require their blood at your hand. That's what God says to every minister. He has set his ministers upon the walls in order that they might sound the alarm. When wickedness comes, in whatever shape or form it may be. It is the purpose, it is the responsibility of the watchman to sound the alarm. No matter what the response of the people may be. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in the verse 9 of this chapter, Paul is sounding the alarm very clearly. What is he doing? He's cleaning his garments, his skirts, from the blood of those that hurt him. And he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Notice the emphasis here on the whole realm and the whole aspect of human sexuality. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." He's sounding the warning. He's making it clear. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. In relation to the events of recent days, sounds forth the alarm. God says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." That's the message that the church should be sounding forth. But you see, when the church promotes this and upholds this, and fails to give a clear message, the church is failing to sound the alarm. It's failing to sound the alarm. And every watchman will be found responsible. The General Assembly ruled that there was to be no public comment on this issue. And for 2 years, the signal, the confused signal, is going out to this nation that these things are acceptable. And they're gagging the pulpit from sounding the alarm. It is a very sad and a very solemn thing when great pressure is brought to bear upon ministers to mute the trumpet and not to sound the alarm. It is a most solemn thing. And every minister of God must keep before his mind perpetually the words of Ezekiel chapter 33. If he fails to give warning, God will require the blood at his skirt. And from time to time in this pulpit, we have raised the sound of warning. It may not have been to everybody's liking, but such people will not stand in my shoes at the judgment seat. Such people will not stand in my shoes. I will stand before God. And I will give account whether I have sounded the alarm. Whatever the issue has been. God said to Ezekiel, "You're to hear the word from my mouth and then give them warning from me." That's what the church should be doing. And the church should be coming behind its ministers in support and in prayer and encouragement to help them and to assist them sound the alarm. Because sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. The trumpet signaled the assembly. The trumpet signaled the advance. The trumpet signaled the alarm. But the trumpet also signaled the atonement. If you turn to verse 10 of our chapter, notice this word in verse 10, also. Also, alongside of this, the trumpet must call the people to hear the word of God. The trumpet must call the people and direct them in the way of the Lord. The trumpet must sound the alarm and warn them of the danger. But this trumpet was also sounded to signal the atonement. Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Turn over to Leviticus 25. Leviticus chapter 25. And verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. The 50th year was the year of Jubilee. It was that year of release, of setting free. If a man had a debt, he was released from it in the year of Jubilee. And on the 10th day of the 7th month, when the atonement was offered, and Aaron the high priest went into the holiest of all and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, that act was signaled by the sounding of the trumpet. The trumpet sounded throughout all the land that the atonement had been offered, bringing attention to men and women, to the attention of men and women, the way of salvation, the way of atonement by the shedding of the blood. The trumpet not only called them to hear the word of God and directed them in God's way and warned them of the danger. The trumpet was used to show to men the way of salvation. Salvation by the blood of the Lamb. And it is the church's task on earth to bring men to hear God's word and direct them in God's way and warn them of the danger. It is also the task of the church to show to men the way of salvation. That even those who have fallen and those whose lives have been ruined by the very sins that God warns against, that those lives can be restored and reconciled to God, and sin can be forgiven, and the sinner can be brought in reconciliation to his Maker. Paul sounded the warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But he went on to say in the verse 11, and such were some of you. That's what you once were. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Such were some of you. We're sounding a clear warning. He's saying this sin will bring judgment. But he also sounded the message of atonement the message of salvation, deliverance from sin by the blood of Christ. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's saying to men, there's a way of salvation. There's a better way than this. And that's what the church should be saying in the midst of a corrupted society, a society that's taken itself down into the quagmire of sin and down into the pit of hell itself. The church should be saying there's a better way. It's not the indulgence of the flesh and the lusts of the flesh. There's a way of salvation. There's a way for men to be justified before God. There's a way for men to be sanctified and made clean and pure in the sight of God, to be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. There's a better way, and it's God's way. Such were some of you. But you heard the trumpet sounding the alarm. You heard the trumpet sounding that the atonement had been offered. And you came in repentance and in faith, casting yourselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That's the sign that the church should be sending forth. But you know, there's a trumpet the church cannot blow and the church will not blow. Zechariah 9 and 14 says, the Lord God shall blow the trumpet. And Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, speaking of that great day in the verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. The day when God himself will blow the trumpet. And he will call the entire world from every generation of time to assemble around the steps of the everlasting throne. And all the dead shall be raised. And every human being will stand before God. The trumpet will sound. And if men are refusing to hear the trumpet of God's word today, they will not escape that last trump when God himself will blow the trumpet and he will call every man and every woman to stand at the great white throne. That trumpet will signal the great assize of God when God will weigh men finally and eternally in the balances of judgment. For that day we must all be prepared with a saving faith in Jesus Christ and with a true and genuine repentance of sin. That's the only way that we can be ready for the last trump. And it's the only way that that trump will be a sweet sound to our ears. I tell you, what a fearful sound it will be to every unsaved sinner. But what a joyful sound to every saint redeemed with precious blood, when the trump of God shall sound and time shall be no more. May God help us to hear the trumpet blast. May God help us as a church to give forth a clear and certain sign. And may we never be ashamed to declare to men what God says in his word. If you're not saved tonight, God's putting a trumpet to your ear. And he's saying, it's time to get saved. It's time to get right with God. There's a better way. There's a way of salvation opened up by the blood shedding of Christ upon the cross. And all who will come, Did you notice that in Ezekiel 33? Whosoever shall hear and heed the trumpet shall deliver his soul. Whosoever shall hear the call of God and the gospel and believe in Christ shall be saved. May God help you tonight to hear the call and to trust Christ as your Savior. Let's turn to 151 in our head.